Stepping into the mind and feeling the heart of those who experience the death of Jesus is a powerful way to connect with the heaviness of this moment. We don't do it just for the sake of feeling sad. Instead, when we attempt to empathize, we bring Jesus from far away to very close. Remembering this night should bring Jesus near, because that is where Jesus longs to be. Consider Mary somehow standing at the foot of the cross, not crumbled in a heap, not fainting over grief. John says she was standing by the cross. Now hold that image of Mary in your mind and flash back 33 years earlier. And Mary is standing before the angel Gabriel, telling her that she would give birth and her son would be the Savior of the world. Now imagine hearing Simeon's prophetic words after he was born, that a sword would pierce through her soul. Imagine the tender moments she had raising Jesus, his first word, his step, his friends, his school days, watching him grow through awkward adolescence and onto adulthood, seeing him, as the Bible says, grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. The Bible tells us that she thought a lot about what was happening. She pondered it all, Luke said, when the shepherds came to his birth. Then, after losing him and finding him again in the temple, Luke said she kept close to her heart. She treasured, even guarded, all the things Jesus was doing. We can relate as parents because we do the same for our children as they grow. We hold close to our heart each first, every discovery, every quirky way they say things. We relate as children because growing up, we saw our parents hover over us as we grew. Mary is a mother, and whether or not we've ever been a mother, don't we try to relate to her heart? Don't we have the emotional tendency to dwell with her, especially on the most painful day of her life, standing, maybe clinging to John for strength at the horror before her, the sacred head now wounded, as the poem goes? The small hands she once held, the little feet she taught to walk, now pierced and tearing under his weight. The face she wiped and cleaned, now covered in blood. The body she tucked into bed, now tormented on the rough wooden beams. Mary had treasured every first word that her precious son spoke, and now, don't you think even more, she is treasuring every last. "Why have you forsaken me?" he cries out. "Yes, God, why? Where are you? Father, forgive them." Could she agree with that? Could she even ask at this moment? His promise of paradise to the dying criminal, his cry to commit his spirit to God, and then the final words he would ever speak directly to her, "Here is your son." Surely Mary clung to John and John to her as they watched the agony rip through Jesus. "I thirst," she heard him say to anyone listening. Oh, how many times she had brought her little boy something to drink. She had nursed him, fed him, brought him water. She had been there when he changed water to wine, and now she's helpless. No way to do the one thing a mother wants to do, help her child. And finally, for all the world to hear, in one anguished, grasping cry, Mary hears the last word she imagines she'll ever hear from his lips, "Tetelestai." It is finished. Christians understand that the pain of the cross was the greatest of all loves. We know that the cross cannot be separated from the grave or from the victory coming up from that tomb. But Mary would have been absorbed in the pain as she wept that afternoon. There was no resurrection on her mind between her sobs. She wasn't crying weak little tears because she had a secret insight that in a few days everyone else would be in on. She was wailing for her baby. She was sobbing for her child. She was terrified and horrified and even inconsolable for the loss of her son. She was every mother who has ever said to their suffering child, "If only I could take your place, I would take all your pain." Mothers think like that. Anyone who truly loves someone feels the same. We want to just somehow crawl into our loved one's pain and take it on to ourselves. How much more then did Mary, the one who had heard the magnificent words that her son would be the deliverer, how much more would she want to deliver her own son from this pain? How could she reconcile that miraculous prophecy with this horrific scene? And as we feel for the heart of Mary, let's not forget Jesus' words to her. No gospel recorded Mary's son's first words, but they did record his last, because after this moment, Jesus will no longer just be her son. He will be her deliverer, her risen Savior. And his last words to her remind us why we are all here on Good Friday. "Here is your son," he said, as she clung to John. And to John he said, "Here is your mother." Jesus' words to Mary are his words to those who gather together on this Good Friday. We are family here at the cross. Look around. Here is your mother. Here is your son. We should be here for one another like God's family should be, because Jesus was not just Mary's son, but the son of God who took away the sins of the world.